Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, rise and shine. You're on with the due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was Wow Wednesday, and we started off with a few love conversations as we talked about the TikTok challenge that's out that some women have used, and they found that if they squeezed ketchup on the counter, this should determine whether their boyfriend is a keeper. Yeah. Yes, this is how they, you know, tested to see whether their boyfriend, you know, was worth hanging around. So you had one woman who squeezed the ketchup and her boyfriend picked up the ketchup, okay, but unfortunately, he used wood cleaner. You had another woman whose boyfriend picked up the ketchup and didn't do such a good job. He made a bigger mess because she said he took the napkin and just moved the ketchup around in circles. You had another woman who said that her boyfriend did a fantastic job as he took the paper towel and cleaned up the ketchup just right. So, you know, they said that, you know, they wouldn't keep the boyfriend around. He was definitely a keeper, you know, so forth and so on. So we got to see how fickle some ladies really are when it comes to choosing and keeping a boyfriend. We then had this love story about the woman who dated the man on Tinder, thought she found the man of her dreams, who after a few months, they went out on a date, and he told her the sky was the limit and she could choose anything on the menu that she wanted. Well, had a wonderful date, and after she got home, she got a text that said, "Hey, we've been talking for a while, and I was wondering if I could get $376.54 to get my lights turned back on. Figured it wouldn't be an issue since I paid for your seafood boil. LOL." Laughy emoji. Yeah. I tell you. Woo! This is what happens when you think you find the man of your dreams on a social media site after only a couple of months. I told you, stay off these dating websites. Yeah, that's how it's going down these days, ladies. You know, I don't know. Maybe one day we'll figure out that those are not the way to do things. No, not when it comes to dating. You want to find somebody, oh, you need to find them face-to-face. All right? All right. Well, the ladies had a conversation. And the myths of Christian dating that some people say you need to kiss goodbye. Now, definitely this social media dating definitely needs to go out the window. But one of the myths, you have to know exactly how you feel before you go on a date. And they say you should stop evaluating whether the guy who's taking an interest in you is strong and tender-hearted enough to raise your future kids. They say stop evaluating whether the new girl at church is hot enough and low maintenance enough for your liking. You know, listen, when you go out on that date, especially the first date, you really need to just use it as a getting to know you opportunity. You know, it's one thing for you to know what you want, but it's another thing for you to already assess this in a person after the first couple of dates. No, how are you fact-finding if you're already there? Take it easy. Take it slow. You know, it's really a tough one because, you know, the other myth says you can't date casually. And, you know, there are people who say that you should always date with a purpose. And like I said yesterday, I'm kind of on the fence on that one. You know, I just think that, you know, when you're at a certain age, you need to date, you know, while you're assessing people. You know what I'm saying? You can't go out, you know, your first, again, those first two dates. You know, we've done stuff here on, we've had conversations here on this due time with Pastor Steph where we've gone over lists of people who, you know, and what they think of and about on the first date. And, you know, some people on the first date are always, already, asking about some real deep and serious things, you know, when you're just on the first couple dates. And although you might be dating with a purpose, in my opinion, you need to get to know the person. And I don't think you getting to know a person if you already asking these serious, you know, questions. But again, you know, to each his own. And, you know, some people feel like from the very beginning, that's where you need to be, you know. I'm not advising that of my 25-year-old. You know, oh, he cheated on me and all this. Listen, take it easy. Take it easy. Now, if your dating consists of kissing and sexing and no, that shouldn't be a part of your date. You know, you're going to have to hold off. Hold off on that kind of stuff. You know, this is a tough thing out here these days. And, you know, again, I just can't prescribe the same method for everybody. Because some people got to be slobbing all over people. And if you dating casually, you know, as they call this a myth, then if you kissing on everybody, then we in trouble. Because that may not be what you need to be doing, dating casually. So that might be a myth you want to throw in the garbage. Okay? All righty now. One of the other myths we talked about, you just got out of a relationship, so it means that you're not ready to date. Another tough one. Another one where it's not a cookie cutter situation for Pastor Steph. You know, some people, a relationship is something they've been in for a whole year. Well, if you have been dating someone or you've been in a relationship for a whole year, when you get out of that for whatever the reason is, and like I said yesterday, whether you are, you know, the one who left that relationship or whether that person left you, yeah, you need to kind of fall back a little bit. You're not ready to date. No, you are not ready to date. You need to step back. You need to kind of assess what happened over a year. You know, let me tell you something. If you've been dating somebody for a whole year and then you broke up, oh, you need some time to think about this thing. Because that's a long time to be in something, a relationship, and then you separate. Either you should have separated a long time ago, or either maybe somebody left you. And that's going to have to be something you're going to have to look at with some serious focus so you can see exactly what went wrong and the same thing doesn't happen to you all over again. So that's not a myth you want to, you know, steer clear of. If you have been in a relationship and you just got out of one, yeah, you want to take some time to spend with you and God so he can show you some things. As a matter of fact, you want God to show you some stuff about you. Yeah. All righty. So those are the kind of things we talked about yesterday. Well, today is Therapeutic Thursday, the day we talk about our health, whether it's our mental health, physical health, emotional health, spiritual health, financial health. Oh, yeah. It's a lot to talk about today. And you know how we do on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. We can make a conversation out of anything. Yes, we can. So, just make a note for yourself that you want to go back and listen to yesterday's conversation and get ready to get this morning underway. I don't know what we got to talk about today. I ain't all that impressed, but we'll be talking nonetheless. You know the Due Time crew, they can make a conversation out of anything. Anything. So go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that It's Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, don't go anywhere because we will be right back.
Disability is not inability. A person's ability may be different, but still an ability. No matter one's race or age, no matter one's physical or mental condition, we all have limitless possibilities. For more than 100 years, Easterseals has helped the 1 in 4 people with disabilities in America live, work, learn, and play. I'm Angela Williams, CEO of Easterseals.
Thank you.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And today is Therapeutic Thursday. Yeah. We're on the other side, y'all. We're on the other side of the week. Thank God we are here. We made it this far, and we're coming to an end. We are coming to an end. And you know how we do on Thursday mornings. We get started on our conversation regarding our health. So thank you so much for joining me this morning. Let's see what we can learn this morning. Well, we got a couple of different pieces of information. So, they say that there are a few items that are potentially artery-clogging processed meats that could be raising your risk of heart disease. All right, so what are we talking about? Well, hot dogs. We've all heard that hot dogs are typically made with bits and pieces of that animal that would otherwise be thrown out. And they say that it's loaded with additives and nitrates, and it's not the best because they say the level of sodium raises blood pressure and also escalates the risk of heart disease. So if you're eating those hot dogs on a regular basis, you might want to scale back. What else are they talking about on this list? Bologna. Remember, my bologna has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. Remember that? Ha. Okay, yeah. Some of you might be saying, no, I do not remember that. So, yeah. I'm showing myself. I'm showing my age. They say like hot dogs, but on a larger scale, bologna is not only a sodium bomb, but they say a lot of fat in bologna. So you want to definitely scale back if you're eating a lot of bologna because it also elevates your cholesterol level and definitely contributes to heart disease risk. Okay? Let's see what else. Salami. Wow. Now, I don't know. Years ago when I used to eat that, I can't think of it. I think it was it Genoa salami? I can't think of the name of it. We didn't call it that. But salami was salty. It was good. I really enjoyed it. But yet again, that's another one of those processed meats that contain a lot of sodium. Yeah, it does. That salami is a killer, man. And also a lot of fat, but very little protein. Okay? So you definitely want to stay away from a lot of salami because also the potential of heart disease risk. Okay. High blood pressure, arterial inflammation, raised cholesterol. Oh, my goodness gracious. This little salami thing is big. All right. So make sure you scale back from that salami. Well, sausage another one on that list. Again, that cardiovascular health you need to be concerned about. They say it's dual threat of high fat and sodium content will definitely lead you to heart disease. So you definitely want to steer clear on that one on a regular basis. So again, those four processed meats that help to take you to cardiovascular disease: hot dogs, bologna, salami, and sausage. Okay? So make sure you write that down and you know about your health. Make sure you know about it. Make sure you know about it. What else are we talking about when it comes to our health this morning? I had a lot of information about your health this morning. All right. Now, this petroleum thing was a big thing, and they have, let me see, they have an article here, some petroleum-based snacks that can cause severe ADHD, nervous system, blood, and kidney damage. I'm going to say this again. Five petroleum-based snacks that can cause severe ADHD, nervous system, blood, and kidney damage. Now, I do know that if you have a child that has been diagnosed with ADHD, you definitely, you have to really watch their diet. Yes. Did some study quite a few years ago, and you cannot feed them any and everything. So they're saying that petroleum is made up of hydrocarbons, which are extracted from rocks and later refined into fuels like gasoline and kerosene. All right. Well, unfortunately, they are in our food. And they're saying that what's worse is they're a common additive to quite a bit of food that's kind of geared towards children. Yeah. And, you know, need I remind you that our children are still developing, and a lot of the stuff that they eat plays a huge role in their development. So if you have children, if you have nieces and nephews, grandchildren, please pay attention to the food that they're eating, okay? They say petroleum is added in form of food colorings, and that means that it's going into sports drinks, candies, cakes, and all kinds of other food. And when all of these things are added together, overwhelmingly they have negative side effects. They say that with regular consumption of petroleum-rich foods, they cause weight gain, hypoglycemia, diabetes, allergic reactions and flare-ups, hormonal imbalances, and they say that increases estrogen and decreases testosterone, birth defects, cancer, hyperactivity, and ADHD. All right? Now, check this out. They're saying it's most dangerous in yellow dye number 5, red dye number 40. Oh, my goodness gracious. Now, you know when we're eating that candy, candy's colored. And those things are definitely in our candies and food, that yellow dye and that red dye. Oh, yeah. We had a conversation about the red dye. Yeah. Well, one of the things that shows up on this list of foods that's high in petroleum, Pop-Tarts. Pop-Tarts, Pop-Tarts, Pop-Tarts. Now, first of all, I want you to know that they say Pop-Tarts have been known to trigger diabetes and liver malfunction in children. But one of the bigger things that I found out, if you don't eat pork, do not grab them Pop-Tarts. Yes, broke my heart about 10 years ago when I looked at the ingredients and it had some pork in it. Yeah, pork is in the Pop-Tarts. So I no longer eat Pop-Tarts. So definitely, they say that they tested Pop-Tarts on animals and some of the animals experienced vision loss. Some even developed tumors and even paralysis. Can you imagine that? Wow. The next item, M&M's. Uh-oh. Somebody on this line going to be real unhappy. M&M's on this list. Again, remember that yellow dye, number 5, number 6, and red dye, number 40. That's how you get that candy coating. Yep. So, again, it's linked to diabetes and hyperactivity. Is that why she be acting crazy sometimes? Okay. All right. Fruit snacks. Same thing. They say even though some of the fruit snacks are marked natural and are supposedly fruit-filled, that petroleum in the fruit snacks, again, you're talking about that red dye, number 3, that high fructose corn syrup, the other dyes that are in there, they say that this definitely contributes to thyroid tumors. Yes. So they say fruit snacks are not as healthy as they want you to think. Okay. Wow. What else is on this list? Teddy Grahams. Wow. The cookies. Yeah, the little cookies that are shaped like little bears. Yes. They say that little bite-sized Teddy Grahams. Long list of harmful petroleum ingredients. Wow. They say that some children have experienced vomiting and nausea, as well as difficulty breathing. They say leave them in the stove. Wow. Cheetos. Wow. That yellow dye number 6. Yeah, that's how it gets that beautiful bright color. They say it is chock full of petroleum products. They say get rid of them Cheetos. Wow. Especially if you're eating these things on a regular basis. So, again, the Cheetos, the Teddy Grahams, the fruit snacks, the M&M's, and the Pop-Tarts. they say are life-threatening foods when eaten on a regular basis, and especially if that's a part of your regimen. So in other words, if when you shop for your kids and you're getting them the combined Pop-Tarts, M&M's, fruit snacks, Teddy Grahams, and Cheetos, they say you're doing some major damage to your children. All right? So you definitely want to steer clear of that and those products. We got one more. You know, today is Therapeutic Thursday. And this is one I was going to pass this one. But then I saw a picture, and I was like, uh-oh, I think I have this in my cabinet. Well, the FDA have now taken some cinnamon products. They want those off the shelves because they contain lead, a high level of lead, to be exact. Now, I need you to check your cabinets, all right? You're looking for La Fiesta. Okay. Now, La Fiesta is sold at La Superior Supermercados. The brand Marcum, Marcum, that's bought at Save-A-Lot. MK, that brand of cinnamon, and that's from SF Supermarket. They have Swad, SWAD cinnamon, that's sold at Patel Brothers. They have Supreme Tradition, and this is what I'm looking at. I think I have in my cabinet. And they say it's sold at Family Dollar and Dollar Tree. And that's exactly where I got it from. And El Chilar, those are the brands you want to look for. So I'm going to give you the brands again. La Fiesta. Are you writing? I need to make sure you're writing these down, because, again, we're talking about our children, and we're talking about why they're getting sick more often, and they said that these cinnamon brands are high in lead content. La Fiesta, Marcum, MK, Swad, Supreme Tradition, and Eli Chilar. All right. So they say that please, if you have any of these brands, throw it away. Throw it away. All of these products have elevated lead levels, and you definitely do not want to ingest this. Okay, they say lead exposure can be harmful to both children and adults, but high levels of lead can especially be dangerous for children. And we've always heard that. So we don't want to get them sick. They're reminding us that it can do damage to the brain and the nervous system. And they can have issues with their hearing and speech. All right. Also, they have a recall on lead-contaminated cinnamon applesauce pouches. All right. So you want to make sure that if you have any cinnamon applesauce pouches, get rid of them immediately. Oh, boy, I tell you, you can't eat anything these days. Anything, anything, anything. All right? So that's our health news for this morning. You know, yesterday, last night, I was looking at the news, and I was just shaking my head, and I was saying, God, people are really sick. People are really, really, really sick. But before we go into those news stories, I have an update on one of our stories. Remember, we talked about this from the very beginning, the weed shops. Remember when they were giving the permits to the people who had been in jail for weed? Oh my gosh, those were the ones they were giving, you know, the permission to open up the weed spots. And then a few months ago, I mentioned that a lot of these weed shops that we've seen popping up all over the place are illegal. Yeah, because the weed became illegal here in New York back in 2021, people just figured it was, you know, carte blanche in opening up whatever little weed spot you wanted. And I'm sure that they've been making money because they're up and they've remained up. Well, a couple of months ago again, Mayor Eric Adams said that they were going to start fining the landlords. Remember that? And I thought that was really crafty. I was like, okay. Well, they started doing it. But they did give the landlords a warning. Now, I knew why they were upset. Let me tell you something. When you go in a store and you see the license for alcohol, which allows them to sell beer, when you see the tobacco license that allows them to sell cigarettes, and you see that lottery license that allows them to have that lottery machine, the state makes money. That's how they make their money. So when you have these illegal weed shops that are popping up all over the place, they're not getting their money. They don't know about, you know, this particular weed spot on the corner of Main and Third. So they don't get money. They can't tax them. So the city is literally losing money. So, yeah, I wasn't surprised that they started coming, you know, going after these people. But I read this article last night, and they are slick. They are slick. Let me tell you what they're doing. So they decided to go after the landlords who were renting. Remember, we talked about this, who were renting to all of these illegal smoke shops. And in this article, they didn't say this a few months ago, but in this article, they reveal why they decided to go through the landlord. Because, all right, here's the deal. So you have thousands, they say over 2,000 illegal weed shops that are up and running since 2021. Now, that's not counting the ones that are licensed, because they say that currently there are only 78 licensed cannabis outlets in New York State. Only 78. And only 35 are in the five boroughs. So think about it. When you say they're over 2,000, think about the money that they're losing from these illegal spots. So if they want to now go after them, there's a process that they have to go through in order to not just locate them, but then the process of finding them and this whole nine yards, right? And it's going to take a lot of money. It's going to take a lot of manpower. So here's what they decided to do. They decided to target the landlords. So they told the landlords, like we talked about a few months ago, hey, we're going to fine you $10,000 for every illegal retail shop you allow to rent in your space. So they say it's worked. They say they sent out 435 notices starting in November. So it was a few months ago. Starting in November, warning them that they would face this $10,000 fine if it was determined that their retail tenants were illegally selling weed. So they say 91 property owners responded immediately, and they advised the state that they evicted and forced out the tenants who did not have the proper license. So that's how they've been cleaning up these weed shops. Now, they say, of course, these people don't want this $10,000 fine. So they started sending them out, this task force. They started sending them out. And they have not had to give out a whole lot of licenses. Fines. Because they found that this is true, that a lot of them that they had on the list, by the time they got there, the places were shut down. Good. Good. Good, good, and good. They say that they found out that some landlords were in negotiations with some of their tenants to shut down immediately or get their license, you know, I guess by a certain amount of time before the fine would be issued. And they have managed to get rid of quite a few of those shops, and I'm very happy. I am very happy. Mm-mm-mm. Yep, they said that they noticed it would be quicker and easier for the landlords to boot out the illegal shops than for the city and the state to have to initiate any legal proceedings. Wow. Mm-mm-mm. That was interesting. That was quite interesting, at least to pass the staff. That was interesting to me. All right. That was one of our catch-ups. Yeah, I like to follow these stories. Now, I got to tell you, these next few stories, people have lost their mind. People have lost their, and I just kept reading and kept shaking my head. I was like, well, where do I even start? Today, Thursday, you know what we're talking about? Therapeutic Thursday. We're talking about mental, emotional, physical, spiritual. Yeah. They've lost their minds. They have lost their minds. We're going to start with this oral surgeon. Check this out. I don't know if this was on the news because I do not watch the news. But you, come on, come on. How dumb can you be? Now, this particular oral surgeon, he has had his license for quite some time. He is 62 years old. He says he's been servicing for 27 years. He estimates that he's seen 120,000 patients. He's extracted about 85,000 teeth, and he's completed about 6,000 facial reconstruction surgeries. Now, this is in Canada that he's done this, right? He's also volunteered in Nova Scotia, Africa, and Brazil. Now, here's the scary part. He doesn't have any infractions against him. Now, remember, 120,000 patients. Out of 120,000 patients, supposedly, he doesn't have any infractions. However, check this out. They have lost their minds, y'all. So, he has a new patient from the county jail. So, two of the correction officers bring him in, Miss Officer McDonald and Officer Goodyear, accompany Mr. Harris, the inmate, to the clinic to get his teeth extracted, right? So, when he puts Mr. Harris under anesthesia and he's sedated, he starts explaining the procedure to the guards. Now, I have not frequented the dentist like some others have in my 57 years, but maybe because it's an inmate, they were standing right there. Because generally, when my girls would go to the dentist, I ain't standing right there. But, you know, now they have this law that, you know, they have to be accompanied. They can no longer leave you alone with, you know, the doctor, the dentist, or whoever. So I guess because he's an inmate, because you have to be accompanied, the two, McDonald and Goodyear, were standing there. Well, he starts explaining the procedure to them. He looks over at Officer McDonald and asks him, would he like to perform the extraction? Now, you were hired to be a correctional officer. You were not hired to be the stand-in dentist. So while Mr. McDonald extracted the four teeth, Officer Goodyear recorded the whole thing. Have they lost their mind? Between the three of them, they have lost it. They have absolutely lost their mind. Well, somehow or another, the video got out. And the dentist got caught along with Officers McDonald and Goodyear. And now they are holding the dentist's feet to the fire. Now, a few seconds ago, I said that this was scary, 120,000 patients. And the reason why I say this is scary is because he has not had any known infractions. Now, if he says he just got caught up in a teaching moment and regretted the decision after the procedure was done, how many other times has he gotten caught up in a moment and they've done something stupid while the people have been under sedation? Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Now, you didn't waste 27 years because they are looking to take his license. They are looking, I mean, they were looking to shut him down. They are not looking to fine him. They are not looking to do anything but officially get rid of his license and not allow him to practice anymore. Then he tells the authorities that technically the teeth weren't extracted, but because the tissue around the teeth were moved and were very loose at the time, that they were just picked up with forceps. You know, sometimes it's better you just say nothing. Just shut up. Just shut up. Just say nothing. Because the more you talk, the worse you make it. So he's been suspended by several dental associations. Now, remember now, he has been operating in Canada, Nova Scotia, Africa, and Brazil, and they are shutting him down all over the place. So he's facing possible jail time. He said that this also may cost him about $1 million in personal losses, as well as an undisclosed settlement with the victim. Well, okay, so lost their mind. Who else has lost their mind? The school bus driver. I know they had to have this one on the news. Mr. Michael Austin Ford has been charged with arson of a vehicle of an organization receiving federal funds in connection with two incidents. So, again, I told you, they get real creative with these charges. Again, he's being charged with arson. Not just arson. You know, years ago it was just, you were just charged with arson. No, they're getting more detailed. Arson of a vehicle of an organization receiving federal funds. Twice. All right? Two times. Check this out. They have lost their mind. This is Thursday's edition of They Have Lost Their Mind. So out in Utah, this 58-year-old school bus driver has two incidences under his belt for setting a school bus on fire with 42 students inside in February of 2022. They say during that incident, he drove with smoke billowing past his face and remained undeterred by the smoke until the children were seen and heard coughing, covering their faces, and complaining about the smoke. They say in April of 2023, he was driving a school bus, and he allegedly lit a fire on the bus while in traffic. They say they can't tell whether the children were on the bus at that time or not. Okay, so they don't give any, in this particular article, they don't give much detail as to he set a fire to this particular part of the bus or that particular part of the bus, just that they say he set the bus on fire. And they are saying he is possibly involved in three other bus fires. One between 2001 and 2002, and the two others between 2006 and 2017. So here's my question. So it goes back as far as 2001 and 2002, right? So he has been investigated for allegedly setting a bus on fire. Then, years later, in 2016 and in 2017, he has another charge. How did you possibly make it to 2022 and 2023? They don't follow up on this kind of stuff. There's no background check when they sign up to be school bus drivers. Shouldn't that be like some nationwide thing? So in other words, if I work here in New York, when they do the background check, it's not just for New York. So you mean to tell me you've been setting school buses on fire since 2001? So for 20 years, you've been setting buses on fire and no one has picked up on this thing, now to the point of 42 students on a bus in 2022 and you still weren't finished because you did it again in 2023 and they couldn't tell whether you had children on the bus or not. What kind of background check is going on? Now, they say he didn't stop the bus in 2022 when the smoke was going past his face. Oh, my gosh. So he was inhaling all the smoke and driving the bus. So anything could have happened to him and all the kids would have been dead. Or whoever else would have been dead. But it wasn't until the children were seen and heard coughing, covering their faces and complaining about the smoke, he was still driving. Well, what kind of kids were these that ain't nobody use a cell phone? Because, see, all the kids that we know, they can't wait to bust out the cell phone. So they were literally coughing, covering their faces, and complaining about the smoke, but nobody called the authorities to say the bus is on fire, the man trying to kill us, the bus driver is driving with smoke, and they say nobody made a phone call. I'm telling you, today is they have lost their mind Thursday. Oh, my goodness gracious. I can't figure this stuff out. All right, so I got to keep going. I just got my last due time crew member, but we got to talk about this stuff here. They have lost their mind Thursday. So check this one out. When a prisoner leaves Rikers Island, he gets or she gets $40, and they call it gate money. Okay? So they're saying that the $40 gate money is hardly enough money to release a prisoner with, that if they're serving as little as 6 months, they leave with the $40, and this is supposedly like from any work that they've done, and they make, I think they said like 65 cents an hour. And that's what they get. And, oh, and they get a Metro card, by the way. Well, the powers that be, and do I have to tell you that it's the Democrats? Because the Republicans ain't looking to give good people a dime. Well, the Democrats have started chatting, and they want to give, are you ready? Drum roll, please. $2,600 when you have left on your way out the door. They are giving you money when you leave. And this money is supposedly for housing, transportation, and other expenses. But now they're not trying to give you the $2,600 all at one time. They want to portion this out. And I'm trying to find how they want to give it. Let's see. But it's like $200 and something. Oh, nope. Here we go, $425 a month for up to 6 months. And some adjustments for inflation. They say they want to set aside $25 million. So let me just say it to you this way. All I got to do is hit somebody over the head. Alvin Bragg moves out the way. They're going to put me in jail for 6 months. And I could walk out getting $425 a month to help me with housing, transportation, and expenses. Yeah. Think about that. They have lost their ever-loving mind, because guess where this money is coming from? Who else? Those of us who pay taxes. Yes, I say us because I still pay taxes. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? Little old me. Yeah. $425. So you go from making 65 cents an hour or less while you were in jail serving time to leaving paying and receiving $425 a month. You ain't got to do nothing. You have to do nothing. Again, you have to do nothing but go to jail for at least 6 months and would have qualified for the $40 gate money, but now they're going to increase that to $2,600 in total, equating to $425 a month. I'm done. I am so, so done. I need to talk to my due time crew. Oh, my goodness gracious. All right. I just need to see where I'm starting because I'm past the KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am getting better. Thank you. I know it doesn't sound like I'm getting anything, but I am. I'm getting better. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I'm doing well.
Good, good, good. All right, Pastor KL. We had a couple of stories before you joined us, and one of the stories... you have an oral surgeon. He has seen 120,000 patients over 27 years. He's extracted about 85,000 teeth and completed 6,000 facial reconstruction surgeries. Well, he had a new patient, an inmate, and when the two correctional officers brought him into the office to get his four teeth extracted. He sedated the inmate, and he started describing the procedure to the two correctional officers. Well, he then asked one of the correctional officers, did he want to extract the teeth? So the correctional officer extracted the four teeth while the other officer filmed the entire thing. And now everybody in trouble because now you have, he said he got caught up in a teaching moment. Oh, goodness gracious. So now he's going to, he's been suspended from several dental associations. He is about to lose the ability to practice altogether. They are looking to completely take away all of his licenses because he practices in Canada, Nova Scotia, Africa, and Brazil. Are they going to the extreme? Or, you know, should he get this pass? And, you know, he made a mistake. He said he's learned from his mistake. He just got caught up in a moment. Should he be allowed to continue to practice dental work?
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, he went past his limit. I mean, he just overdid it at that point. No, become a teacher or something. But no, he did not. He should never again. You know, and the correction officers, you know, as well, you know, they crossed the line. You know, that stay in your lane. You know, so I think that, you know, his whole license should be taken away, if you ask me.
All righty. So you're agreeing with the powers that be. You know, he's begging for them to be lenient on him. He's really making a petition that he... you know, yes, he's guilty, but his sentence should be minor. He says, I have good hands and a good head. I just want to use it. Wow. All right, Pastor
KL. Obviously he didn't have a good head because he thought that this was okay at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't a good head.
Not at all. I agree with you. How you got a good head, but you defer the extraction of the teeth, four teeth, to a correction officers? No.
Not only that. Let's look at it this way. How many years did it take you in school?
Right.
To accomplish or to learn the things that you've learned. And you think within 120-minute, you know, consultation that someone else that you went to school for years can do it in 20? Oh, no. You don't have a good head.
No. That's why I said you looked over to two correctional officers. If you want to teach somebody, why you don't teach the dental assistants or, you know, somebody like that? How are you teaching correctional officers? That makes no sense to me either. I don't know. All right. So I've named this show, They Have Lost Their Minds Show. We've got the next story of the school bus driver. Since 2001, he has been on the radar for setting school buses on fire. The most recent, 2022, where 42 children were on the bus. And if it weren't for the fact that the children were seen and heard coughing, covering their faces and complaining about the smoke, that's when he decided to pull the bus over. But he was driving, they say, with smoke billowing past his face and remained undeterred by the smoke. How has he kept a license for driving school buses all this time? Oh, Pastor K.O.
You know, it sounds crazy to me. Even when you ask, you know, doesn't that follow you from place to place? You know, the other day, and this is so ironic, the other day I was playing with one of my police friends, and I was like, man, I ain't got no record. I don't do drugs. I don't do all that other stuff. So we went, and he has a way, of course, you know, putting your name in and stuff like that. I see that when I was 21 years old, my license was suspended, and I got put in jail for that. And that's still on my record.
Wow.
When I was 21 years old. So my thing is that if that can be on my record, how could this not follow you?
Right.
And I'm far beyond 21, far beyond.
Wow.
So I just don't understand.
Wow. Yeah. It makes no sense. If, like you said, 21, you know, years old, this is still sitting on your record, how is it that arson against school buses, this has not followed you? This is crazy. Wow. All right. We've got another Have They Lost Their Minds question. So the $40 gate money that they've been giving out, when you leave Rikers Island, after doing just 6 months, as long as you spend 6 months, you get $40 and a Metro card, by the way. They want to increase this to $2,600 in total, and they want to give these people $425 a month. No questions asked, because they want to help them with housing, transportation, and other expenses. What do you think?
Well, this is what I think. I don't know if people know what FMLA is, but I'm thinking about going on FMLA, slapping me a couple of people, so that I can go to jail for 6 months. Come back out, go back on my job, released from FMLA, get my money from them, and get my money from them. Hey, how about that?
Yep. All they have to do is spend 6 months in jail. There is no other criteria. They don't have to go to school. They don't have to be signed up for any trade school. They don't have to be working. Nothing. Nothing. There is no criteria. The only thing that they're saying is that they need something to live off of, because we are allowing them to go back into society, and they have nothing to lean on, which causes them to be reoffenders.
You know what? Every day, someone is tempted from homelessness. You know, from not having a job. Everybody is tempted to be an offender of something, and yet we don't help the people that's on the outside. These folks who have chosen to do the things that they've done, now we're rewarding you in fear that you may be a reoffender. How about the people who are just trying to live from day to day and have not done anything wrong? You have all this money to dish out to these folks. What happened to the regular folks who are just trying to live?
That's right. Who have worked their way to remaining upstanding citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Pastor KL. Oh, my. Let's hear what your girl Shantice has got to say. Let's say good morning. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm well, thank you. I'm well. Want to hear what you got to say about the oral surgeon who let the two correction officers remove the inmate's teeth. Should he lose his license?
Yeah, because he don't want to work anyway. That just sound like you figured I didn't have enough patience for the day. Since you here, let me just show you real quick what you got to do. You take this, go in there, make sure you look for that, put this around the tooth, yank a little bit. If you got difficulties, then you do this. It's like, how is that even a consideration for you to, not only that, so now I got your dirty hands, your dirty, you know, because these doctors, as you know, we know, they have to scrub themselves a certain way before they perform whatever procedure. Just because it's an oral procedure, it ain't no different than the surgeons who do heart surgery, who work on any other part of your body. So now your filthy clothes is around my open mouth like this, and this is really okay. Yeah, he don't need a license. He don't want to work no way.
All righty. The school bus driver, since 2001, he's been on their radar, but still has maintained a job, even to the point of driving the bus that's on fire with the 42 students inside. What should happen
now,
to
him?
Now,
what was he on their radar for? What was
setting
he on
the
their radar for?
The bus is on fire. From back in 2001.
How are you on somebody's radar? How are you on someone that, when you say something like, oh, he's been on our radar, you know, you're talking about, oh, someone said you slapped them, you know, but that's just he say, she say. So since 2001, it is now 2024. Nobody saw a live fire or anything coming from his bus. It's just been all speculation. He say, she say, so then, and finally now, you see, how careless have those people been that you heard something about anything? Somebody was playing with matches on the bus or anything. We've been hearing all these stories about how the kids have been doing things and the bus driver has just been negligent in, you know, any type of disciplinary, you know, actions, because, you know, their whole focus may just be on driving the bus safely, or they just don't care to, you know, handle anything that's going on with the students on the bus. Now, you're talking about he's been the one setting fires over 20 years, and now you find y'all helped him do this. There has been no type, it's not like there has been no real investigation going on, and these kids have been suffering whatever. God knows who, because that's speculation too, because that's been under the radar, under your radar as well. It sounds like they just helped him do that. I don't understand how, if y'all were really on point with trying to figure this out, y'all came up with nothing until now.
It says he allegedly acknowledged to investigators that he was involved in three other bus fires, one between 2001 and 2002 and the others in 2016 and 2017. He acknowledged. Well, as Mariah would say. All righty.
No, we'll find the fifth person.
Yeah, you know, wasn't us. All right, now, you've got the inmates who leave. When they're released, they get the $40 gate money, and now they're increasing that to $425 if they have their way for 6 months, because they need help with housing, transportation, and other expenses.
This reminds me of, I had someone say to me, well, I need to go back to jail because I'm going to get my teeth fixed. I'll be able to do my, I'll be able to get my GED. I'll be like, I get set up in there. And I'm saying to them, like, okay, so this is a goal. Instead of you doing that out here, and I didn't take it as no joke. I said that they were serious. So now, what? This is going to be a real goal for other people, that I can do whatever, because now I get to come up after I'm released, possibly. I'll just make sure I don't do any crime that would have my time exceed the 6 months, so that I can now get the money that I'm not getting while I'm out here now. That sounds so retarded. You're setting them up so the law-abiding citizens have to fight for everything, but now you commit whatever crime, and you get to come up like this. And they don't consider themselves backwards. That's the real mystery, how you don't consider yourself backwards for implementing something like this.
Mm-mm-mm. Yes, ma'am. That's the way the Democrats, that's why they talk about the Democrats like trash, because they say that leave it to the Democrats, United States will always be poor, because the Republicans never considered doing stuff like this. Never, 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 never. All right, I got my two favorite people in the room this morning. Thank you so much for indulging me. I got the old man and I got the millennial. Oh, my. Well, guess what?
Watch your mouth now. Watch your half respect.
Well, check this out. We're going to talk about who's classy and who's not. So they've made a list of different things where they say these are the classy people who do these things. And I want you two to tell me whether you agree that only the classy do these things and the classless don't. And the first thing they're talking about is grace under pressure. They say classy people have a knack for staying calm, cool, and collected no matter the situation. Pastor KL, agree or disagree?
I definitely agree. You know, I'm one of those classy folks. You know, I try to stay calm in all situations.
Oh, my goodness.
Wait a minute. We don't need a commentary. by these little children on their phone, okay?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay. So Pastor KL says, yes, the classy, they do stay calm, cool, and collected no matter the situation. Shantees, are the classy people the ones who have grace under pressure?
I agree. Yes. It takes a lot of class to compose yourself, keep yourself under control.
So what was the oh my goodness for?
All righty.
Oh my goodness was if you was classy or not.
Uh-oh.
Oh, here we go. Oh, wow. Wow. Pastor Steph, turn off her mic right now. Turn her mic off. She's disrespectful. She is not classy. She is not classy.
Oh, my goodness. This is exactly why I said I had my two favorite people on for this particular conversation, because I knew it was going to go in a nice direction. Oh, my goodness. It's going to be real interesting. All right. They say the classy value their time. They say if there's one thing about classy people, it's their respect for time, their own as well as others. Agree or disagree, Shantees? Classy people value their time, or they value time.
Agree. Their classy people are considerate. They think about, again, how their time management affects them as well as others.
Okay. Pastor KL, they value time.
Yes. Classy people are very, very, very punctual. Again, being a classy folk of myself, you know, we're very, very punctual, and we care about other people, other people's time. I mean, we value their time, so I agree.
Okay, wow. All righty. Okay. Okay. All right. They say classy people, they master the art of conversation. They say classy people have an uncanny ability to converse in a way that makes others feel valued and appreciated. Pastor KL.
Yes. I mean, they converse well. They have good conversation, and they engage. You know, they allow you to engage as well in the conversation. So it's just not one sided. So I would agree.
Shantees, what say you?
I agree. Classy people know how to hold a conversation. They know when to speak and when to listen. I agree.
Okay. I don't know about y'all, but I'm kind of looking at this classification of classy people. And I'm going to come back to that in a minute. All right. They're saying that they're mindful of their surroundings. What does that have to do with being classy? But since it's on the list, they say classy people are always aware of their surroundings and exhibit a high level of social awareness. Shantees.
Yes. Well, I take that as classy people know who to be around and who not to be around. If you're around the classless, you have very little control as to who else is around you. We've all been around them people where, okay, I'm around one challenged person. Next thing you know, they invite their other challenged friends, and I don't know if being around one, being around 30. And now we're all being classless. So yes, they know how to choose their crowd.
All righty. Okay, well, thank you, because I was going to say this round we're going to start to qualify why this would possibly be classy or classless. So Pastor KL, they're mindful of their surroundings. What would make this classy if you agree.
Well, I mean, in the words of Al, you know, I thank the young buck for saying that, because I didn't understand how this was classy at all. You know, that wasn't even in the same arena. But I guess, you know, from what Shanti says, you can look at it from that aspect. But from my perspective, before I heard her, I would have said this has nothing to do with being classy.
I agree. I was trying to figure out, you know, where did this go? They say whether it's in a crowded subway or a quiet library, classy people understand the unspoken social norms and respect them. Okay. This one is up for debate. They're genuine. One of the most admirable traits of classy people is their authenticity. They are true to themselves and don't feel the need to pretend to be someone they're not. Pastor KL, does this, you know, is this a classy thing or not?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, they don't put on airs, so they're going to be who they are. You know what I mean? And they're going to give it to you straight. You know, they're going to tell you the truth, whether it's brutal or not, you know, but that's just who they are. You want a kind of person like that in your corner, who's not going to lie to you, who's not going to sugarcoat it to you, you know, sugarcoat you. So, yeah, I believe that's real classy.
Okay. Shanties?
Now, this one is a bit challenging because I can tell you about yourself, but I don't know how much class I'm going to be able to uphold. Wow. myself. I don't know how much longer I'll be deemed classy after I'm true to my authenticity and letting you know about you. So I think this one is subjective to whoever's in the area. And if, you know, I deem me making a scene classy, or if you deem that classless because I didn't make a scene. So sometimes in order to tell people about themselves, it's not always done in the whisper voice, in your inside voice. So I don't know about that one. I think that's a case-to-case scenario.
Okay. They practice kindness. Classy people make a habit out of kindness. It's not just an occasional act, but a way of life for them. Shanties.
Yes, you have to possess a high level of class in order to show real kindness, in order to put others before yourself so that you can show how considerate you are. I agree.
Okay. Pastor KL.
Yes, I definitely agree. You know, that's just a way of life for them. That's just who they are. You know, when you hear people speak proper, and because that's what they do. They speak proper. They're not trying to put on. They're not trying to put on any airs, you know, to speaking with you. So that's just how they are. They wake up like that. And I mean, some of them are annoying, but that's how they, you know, that's how they are.
Okay. All right. They value privacy. They say, you know, in this age of social media, all the details of your life is spilled out all over into the world. Classy people understand and respect the importance of privacy. Pastor KL.
Definitely. That gets like 5 stars. You know, they don't air out their laundry. You know, and for the most part, they don't want to know your laundry. You know, they're very, very private people.
Okay. Shanties.
I agree. You can't be nosy and classy. There's nothing classy about people's business. Nothing classy about that. I agree.
All righty. Okay, making a little sense here. They show gratitude. Classy people never miss an opportunity to express gratitude, whether it's for a grand gesture or a small favor. They always take the time to say thank you. Shantice.
I agree. It takes a lot of class to show that humility, to acknowledge what someone has done for you, and to make sure now that your deeds, not just your words, show your appreciation. So, yes, I agree.
Okay, okay. Pastor KL?
Definitely agree. I mean, though that seems like it's a small thing, that is a great and big gesture. You know, a lot of folks have a problem of just saying thank you or I appreciate you. You know, but to the other side, you know, that's a real big thing for them. You know, sometimes, you know, you don't really care about the money. But if somebody could just say thank you, I appreciate what you've done, you know, that goes a long way.
Okay, okay. They are respectful. They say at their core, classy people are respectful. They treat everyone they encounter with kindness and dignity, irrespective of their social status or differences. Pastor KL, they are respectful.
Definitely. I just want to go back to the other one as far as thank you and money. Because, you know, like Pastor Steph has not paid me yet, but she says thank you every day. Every day we come off the air, she texts us, thank you, great job, thank you, great job. You know, I be waiting for the check sometime, but, you know, the thank you is good enough. But as far as respect, I would respect you more if you paid me. But I think that's a good
Oh, my goodness.
I think respect goes a long way. You know, no matter who you are, you don't look down on anybody. You don't talk down on anybody. Just give them the respect that they deserve. And we all, as just human beings, deserve, you know, a certain level of respect.
Okay, okay. Shantice, they are respectful.
I agree. You have to have class in order. Again, respect also goes with consideration. I have to make sure that I'm considerate of how you feel, how I'm noticing you feel, what needs to be done, what I need to make sure I don't do and or say. And if I don't have class, I can't do that. I'm not going to be attentive enough to even care to be respectful. So I agree.
Okay, okay. You know, when you survey this list, you're looking through a list and they're talking about unique behaviors that they, or these behaviors they are considering unique. Grace under pressure, they value time, they master the art of conversation, they're mindful of their surroundings, they're genuine, they practice kindness, they value privacy, they show gratitude, they are respectful. You know, these are what they are considering unique behaviors. And should they be unique if you're considered a Christian? And that's how we're going to close out today. Shantice, what say you?
Well, if you're a Christian, this should just be your way of life. This is your norm, to be considerate, to be respectful, to be caring, to show gratitude. That's, you know, what we work. And a lot of these things are learned behaviors. You got to work at being classy. You know, when God takes you from your old self and he puts on your new self, a lot of those, you know, traits and habits, you have to learn them, but it becomes natural, more and more natural, the more you focus and stay in God. So it's not like it's, oh, like a whole, how you said, type of stuff, like, oh, well, I'm being this. Well, yeah, you should be, because that's who you're supposed to be as a Christian.
All right, all right. Pastor KL, you know, they've classified these things as, you know, being classy, you know. And are we really considered classy if these are characteristics that we are supposed to have as a Christian person?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, this is your way of life. You know what I mean? When you give your life over to Christ, you know, this is just who you are at this point. You know, this is the example that you should be showing. All of these characteristics, you know, are characteristics of God. So it's not something that you know, now you should get a reward for or a gold star for, because this is supposed to be who you are.
Okay. Thank you so much, Pastor K.L. and Shantice, for your contribution into today's conversation. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you.
You as well.
Thank you. All right. It's the top of a Thursday morning, and you know what that means. That means it's time for Pray for Them. Shantice, who you got for us today?
This week on Pray for Them, we are praying for 38-year-old Jontel Massey Watts, better known as Apple Watts. And if you have ever been a frequent viewer and fan of Living Hip Hop Hollywood, and you know who she is, she was an Instagram model, worked her way up to being a video vixen and a rapper. She had a brief career in the pornography industry before she starred in season 5 and 6 of Love & Hip Hop Hollywood. And she's also a mother of 3. And when she was on that show, oh my goodness, you're talking about a firecracker, a ticking time bomb. Her whole goal on being on the show was to work her way out of the strip club into a music career, a career as a rapper, as most of them were doing on, whether you were watching Love & Hip Hop in whatever city they were in. That was her main focus. She publicly struggled with alcohol abuse. Back in March of 2022, she was driving from L.A. to Vegas and got into a really nasty car accident where she collided with a pickup truck. Her car flipped a few times and then burst into flames. Fortunately, one of the passengers from the pickup truck was able to get her out of the car, which is amazing, because when you think about a car bursting into flames and someone is in there, you pretty much figure that's it for them. She sustained a shattered spine, a broken arm, and a scattered skull. If you pull her up on Instagram or any social media, again, she goes by Apple Watch. She has been documenting her progress, her recovery. And when I first saw her, I think it was last year or a little over a year ago, I thought I recognized her, but because of the way her body is now, like her, I think it's her left arm is completely kind of like bent in, and she could barely walk. Like, she's been going through physical therapy, very intense physical therapy. She can barely walk. I think the only reason why I was able to recognize her was because of her body. Her body is still the same as far as it being in shape and, you know, the structure of it. And it was just like, wow. You know, she was really able to survive this. Of course, she had to be airlifted from the incident. But one of the main reason why I thought we need to lift Miss Jontel up in prayer. So she's been displaying this recovery process. And while she's doing that, she has gotten a little better when it comes to being a little more mobile, where she's able to hold her phone on her own. And everything is body shots. There's been a lot of, and those of us who are on social media, I don't care whether you're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, whatever, you see the women doing the selfie photos and or videos where they're, you know, showing their body, how they look, what they're wearing, so on and so forth. And the first thing that came to mind was, how is this even in your mind? to now show off this body when you can still barely walk, when you were just recently able to even hold a phone by yourself, when you think about a toddler walking for the first time, and they do that staggering, and it may take one step forward and one step back, but it's almost like they're really drunk. Like, that's how she walks right now, normally. And to think that you're still looking to display this BBL, whatever it is that you have, because her body is crazy. You know, it's crazy. But it's like, so the recovery isn't, so are you just still documenting this because you want to show off your physique, you want to show off your shape? And how many people have been in a car accident where it wasn't even as intense as hers and they didn't make it, you know, or they're wheelchair bound where there is no physical therapy for them because they're not able to move their limbs at all. They're not able to stand. And just lifting her up in prayer also, because she is a mother of three, and this is what her children are watching, whether they like it or not, whether they agree with it or not, whether they're not paying any real attention to it or not. This is what she's showing them. Lifting her up and praying that God helps her to focus on the additional chance, because we can't say second chance, because we don't know how many chances God has given her before this point, to focus on him and, you know, give her life to him, possibly. To just focus on the fact that she's here, and this could be a way to have a brand new start mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and even physically. You know, praying for her children that they are able. Now, she did have a rough upbringing. She was in foster care, and, you know, there was some discrepancy with her children and everything, but praying that they would have the desire to care for their mother, you know, to tend to her and help her however they need to, not just physically, but to even be there mentally and emotionally for her however they can, because she doesn't have any babies. You know, they're all old enough to grasp and understand what has happened to her. Praying for her peers, you know, when you're living that fast life, and, you know, we don't know if she was intoxicated or anything during that time. They never stated that. But when you're, you know, on that fast lane and you're just moving and you got your own goals and everything, and this could have been a way God said, I'm going to slow you down. You know, I could have closed your eyes and I could have really stopped you to where you're still here and there's no real possibility of progression. But, you know, I just need to slow you down. Praying for her peers that they take a lesson from this, and that they even start to evaluate their own lives and how they need to show a level of class and show God the gratitude for what they're still able to do. But all of this vanity, it's like, how are you still vain? How is there any level of vanity when you have to have surgery on your neck? So even, you know, her face almost looks like she had a stroke. And, again, you could barely really walk and, you know, hold a cane yourself. So just praying for the class that God needs her to have with him so that she can show the proper gratitude for, and she can really document some real progression, that it won't only be physical progression, but spiritual progression as well.
All right. Well, give me the name again, please.
Jontel Watts.
Watts? Okay.
Yes.
All righty. Dear Heavenly Father God, we are grateful to be able to even be before you this morning. Thank you so much for allowing us to see the light of day. We're taking the time to lift up Ms. Jontel Watts. And God, as I always say, she has no idea we're even praying for her. She has no idea that you have put her on our radar this morning. And Lord, as a woman who started off what we would consider completely normal functioning, and then she endured a major blow to not just her body, but her life, her lifestyle when she was in the car accident, God. And only you could even just pull her out. You used somebody to pull her out of a fiery car. And we say thank you for that, God. Thank you, Lord, for just giving her another chance to get it right. And, Lord, some might say, you know, based on, you know, who she is now and her lack of, you know, being able to maneuver as a normal individual, God, some people would say, well, what was the point? They wouldn't want to live like that. You know, this is not working properly. This is not functioning properly. And that would be something that they would have rather just died. But we're grateful, God, because we understand the value of you giving her another chance. That whatever she had not done, whatever she did not know, whatever had that had not been introduced to her before that time, God, was another opportunity for her to be introduced to you in a special way, God. For her to be told of this wonderful plan of salvation, dear God. For her children to not be missing a mother, for that they would not be motherless. Your word speaks of us taking care of the widows and the orphans. And God, that's exactly who they could have been if their mother had perished in this car accident. And God, we just come before you as people who know who you are. We know the power of prayer, God, and we know that prayer can change anything, God. Prayer can change her physical ability. Prayer can change her mental stability and ability. Prayer can change her emotional status. Prayer can change her spiritual status. God, prayer can change anything. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're lifting her up before you, God. Shantice is describing that she's her focus, you know, are selfies and the way they position themselves in these pictures and tons of pictures of her. And, God, we don't know why. You know, maybe this is her way of celebrating that she's able to still be here, or what she looks like based on versus what she could have looked like. We don't know, God. But what we do know is that's the least of her concerns right now. That her, the way she looks in the camera in a selfie is the least of her concern. Because right now she needs to be concerned about the way she looks spiritually. Is she presenting herself to you in a different way? Is she a different person than who she used to be? Is she valuing just the air she breathes? Is she grateful to you for who you have allowed her to become? Because in death, we are no one but dead. We are nothing but dead. And God, we just got finished going through a whole list of who's considered classy and classless. And Lord, we're talking, the first thing that came on that list was grace under pressure. And that's how you look at us. That's how you gauge who we are in you. Do we turn our lives over to you, turn everything over to you, or are we trying to battle this thing on our own? Are we grabbing up friends and family and fans and all of these people to help dictate who we are, what we should look like and what we should be and how we should speak? And Lord, we know that based on this accident, that she's a much different person than who she was before. And we're grateful, God. We're grateful, God, for everything you have allowed in this second level of life. She's no longer who she used to be, so she's had to leave a lot of those things behind her, God. But what she has access to now, ooh, what a wonderful, great, big, and mighty God you are. Just because you simply said so. That she can be much different and much better and much polished, even though her body is not the same. So we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for at least allowing us to understand that so we can lift her in prayer properly. Thank you
Amen.
For allowing us to understand this, dear Heavenly Father, so we can understand the value of life. What true
Amen.
Living really is. And if she's never able to take a selfie again, that she can't put a price or value on what you have enabled her to still do. So thank you. Thank you for loving her in a special way. And we pray, God, that you just lift her up into your arms and just surround her with people who can help her see a different way of life. People who can help her understand that without you, there is no life. Without you, that selfie looks real ugly. But you can allow us to possess an inner beauty that shines so brightly that it would draw all men unto you. Thank you. Thank you for what this particular story does for our life, just in hearing it, how we can apply it to our lives. It's not a mistake or just by happenstance that this name and this situation was brought up today, but because of who you are and who you invest in each and every day, we can say our life is different and can be different. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything we see and everything we don't see. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Shantiz. Thank you. We pray
you
have a blessed day. All right.
Thank you, you too.
Thank you. Wow. You know, we serve an amazing God. And, you know, for this particular individual, we're talking about her car accident. And for others, it's something different. It's something very different. You know, what has happened to us that has changed our life? You know, where we're taking that selfie instead of focusing on something else. What's happened in our life that, you know, God has given us another chance, but yet we are not thinking correctly? We're not focused. We're not accepting what he's given us. We have lost sight of the fact that, hey, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for just being with us one more day and you just being this awesome, great, wonderful God. And I think about this all the time. I think about how God has been so good to us. And a lot of times we don't even appreciate it because we're so busy focusing on some things that, you know, we ain't got no business focusing on. But see, it's this time. It's times like this where God has allowed us to hear and listen and think on these things. And now we can appreciate who he is. Thank you, Father. You know, I always say that investment. You know, I never thought about it before. like that. But I realized that God is definitely taking time with you and with me every day. And eventually he will catch up and do it with someone else. Because he says he does not want anyone to perish. So just because it may look like, and I use the terminology very loosely, catch up, but God has not forgotten about anyone. But he is definitely investing in you if you are on this broadcast each and every day. Because he wants to save your life. So, you know, just appreciate who he is, because there may not be another chance. See, there's another chance for this young lady. She may not see it as another chance for God. You know, she's seeing it as another chance of, you know, constantly in my photos, you know, I'm looking because this is how I look, and I really could have looked like this, or I really could have been dead, or, you know, I'm glad that even though I had the accident, that, you know, this is still intact. This still looks good. But when I think about how we squander away opportunity, we need to be in church, but we chilling. We need to be reading our Bible, but we doing something else. We need to be praying, but we doing something else. We need to be hanging with the right people who are going to draw us closer to God, but we with the low-life individuals or the classless people, however you want to look at it. Yeah. We squander away the blessings of God. We squander away the blessings of God when we're living in a depressed state. And we need to be rejoicing and giving God thanks. We squander away the blessings of God when we're so busy complaining about everything. And we don't take the time to say thank you, God, as much as we're complaining. We squander away a lot of God's blessings. So let this particular story be a lesson to you today. Are you posing for selfies when you should be focusing on something else, on the goodness of God? Are you posing for selfies when you should be rejoicing and reading your Bible and giving God the glory out of your life? What is your selfie? What's your idol? What's the thing that you're focused on more than the goodness of God? Let's make sure we turn that around and give God every breath and every air we breathe, because he deserves it, because he owns it all. Nothing belongs to us. Everything that we have is loaned to us. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through the day, as you go through your day, please don't lose sight. Because, you know, it will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us. Please do not miss this opportunity to give Christ your life right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen your relationship with the Lord right now, because later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, God spares, where it's Freestyle Friday. Until then, I love you.